play fake this time. Blake throws toward the end zone. What's Marquise Lee? Leaping attempt by Marquise Lee near the goal line. Touchdown! Touchdown, Jacksonville! Bortles to Marquise Lee on the first drive of the game. Ivory, the tailback. Bortles gives it to Chris Ivory, running to the right side. Chris is into the end zone. Touchdown! Touchdown, Jacksonville! He scores from a yard away, and the Jags have extended the lead again. Shotgun for Bortles. They run a reverse.
So we've had that play in for about 8 weeks now. I think that was the fifth time we called it. Finally got the corners overlooked that we needed, and I kind of got excited. Keith's first throw in a game, my first catch in a game, and it ended in a touchdown. So it was huge, kind of just a little icing on the cake.
Marquise Lee's going to throw it back to Blake. Blake is open to the five, into the end zone, touchdown. There's a gadget for you. Marquise Lee took the toss from Bortles, and then he threw a pass back to his quarterback for the touchdown.
Jags 31, Titans 17. Matt Castle drops the throw. Throws the left of that ball. Intercepted. Jalen Ramsey, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown. A pick six for Jalen Ramsey. And the Jags are pouring it on the Tennessee Titans.
Now, from the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field, 1010 XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your hosts Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith, and Ryan O'Halloran.
Tyler said that those were his exact thoughts.
Okay.
Once again, that's bad radio 101. Chat amongst ourselves on the breaks and not tell you what we're talking about. We're talking about Ryan growing the hair out for 2017. What do you think, Ben? Back party in the back?
Me?
Yeah. Even if it's business up top. Yeah.
Well, there's nothing going on up top.
That's what I'm saying. That's your business right there.
It's, if I don't get a haircut like every month, it literally feels like I have a mullet because I'm just so used to the
– Every month?
Yeah. I do it – but you do it like
– Like every week. Yeah. During football season, I do it every week. Yeah. I like to keep it skin tight. Maybe every other week during the off season. If it's short, you got to keep it short, man. Yeah. You know, I think I could see him, Ryan, with one of those little John Clayton ponytails, though. Those little, those little hidden party tails right there. Just you could slide it under the collar. Yeah, a little rat tail. Rat tail. That looked good for you.
Yell at bus drivers for stuff they can't control at the Super Bowl.
Yes. Exactly.
Oh, Johnny Goodtimes. He's got a short fuse at the Super Bowl.
That's me. All right. Clayton's got a short fuse. I do, too, because it wasn't the short fuse as much as just the frustration level. When I'm texting Ryan, Ryan's like, leave me alone. I'm working, writing post-game stories here. I'm like, where's the bus? I got to get out of here, man. I got to catch a flight. I got to get out of Santa Clara.
Remember that.
Who had the Jaguars interviewed? Who can you confirm in your reporting that the Jaguars have already spoken to for the head coaching gig?
Goodwin. Smith.
Hunter Goodwin is the offensive coordinator for the Arizona
Howard Goodman.
Howard Goodman, the offensive coordinator of the Arizona Cardinals.
And then
Mike Smith.
Supposed to be yesterday.
Yesterday,
and
right.
And then Marone's supposed to be today, all down in Miami.
Okay.
So they've shifted their base of operations down there. Now the weekend, they got to go to these guys, Shanahan and McDaniels. So they have to travel to talk to them over the weekend. If it's Friday and Saturday.
Right. Shanahan McDaniel, they talked to Coughlin as well. Yes. Have they done a formal interview with Tom Coughlin?
Not that I've heard. I mean, just speculating here when this will come out is, was that just a courtesy, or if I'm Coughlin's camp, I'm a little concerned, okay, nobody else is calling me, at least not that I know of.
Right. They try to drum up that he was the Buffalo choice, perhaps.
Yeah, and that's what people in the building here thought at midseason when it was sort of put out there that Tom and the Jaguars would be a fit. This is when Gus was still here. And it was probably his camp saying, telling the league, he wants back in.
Right.
And it's not going to be an automatic. He'll go wherever. But it looks like this – looks like he's not going to get a chair at the table this time again.
Yeah, it's you don't hear any buzz about it whatsoever. You know, well, of course, I don't really hear any buzz about Goodwin or Smith, any particular buzz. I mean, we can all draw the dots and connect the dots with the past relationships that Dave Caldwell has had in places he's been where he's worked with Mike Smith or going back to college with Josh McDaniels and things like that. Anthony Lynn also supposedly on the radar.
Yeah, that one's interesting to
me. Isn't that a little bit weird, right?
Because they had him in this building 2 years ago.
Right.
And they said it was for a coordinator job, but really it was for the running back's job. And they just sort of moved on from there.
And then you saw the report this weekend that Anthony Lynn and Gus Bradley would be a package deal wherever they ended up.
Yeah, I think that was Mr. Sexton doing his work a little bit, trying to create a market for Gus.
Gotcha.
Because, you know, when you see the Lynn to Jaguars thing, he just laughed out loud.
Right.
Maybe that caller 2 weeks ago who said Gus should just be the coordinator was going to be right.
Maybe they're right. Yeah. But that's not happening here.
But, another name, a new layer of names will become available once four teams get eliminated this weekend. Are there anybody on those staffs like the, you know, a Jim Bob Cooter?
Maybe Vance not, Joseph.
Yeah, Tom Cable if the Seahawks lose. So, you know, you add another. You know, people say, why haven't they made a hire yet? Well, they haven't talked to anybody yet, and they can't talk to some of the people. They may not be interested. If we're sitting here next Thursday and they're still talking to people, then they're sort of reaching a new stage where they're having to maybe regroup a little bit.
All right, if you got questions for Ryan O, you just want to talk Jaguar football today, the number, as always, is 641-1010, both the phone line and the text line. Driven by Duval Ford. Our question of the day, presented by the Tom Bush Family of Dealerships, is simply, who do you predict will be the next head coach? Maybe it comes from one of the names we just discussed. That's probably the great likelihood, because those are the names that are percolating out there as the Jaguars have interest in them. Maybe it is a wild card that isn't being discussed as heavily. This is not who you want. We've already asked you that, and you're willing to say, or you're welcome to say, hey, I want this, but I think it's going to be this. But tell us who you think it actually will be, not who you desire it to be here in Jacksonville. And if you want to include the reasoning why you think it'll ultimately end up being that candidate, you can share that with us as well on Twitter at MD_1010XL, at 1010XL Fat Tony, and at Ryan O'Halloran. Today is the day of reckoning, where we look back at our preseason predictions on how the NFL season would go.
Carnage.
So we'll get into that. Also, a little bit later on, we'll break down those four wild card games and give you our thoughts on who's going to win each of those in advance to the divisional round of the playoffs coming out of this weekend. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, Ryan O'Halloran here with you on this Thursday morning live at Everbank. Tyler Devitt back at 1010XL World Headquarters. It's Jaguars today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
This is Alan Hearn, and you are listening to Jaguars Today on 1010XL.
Alan Hearn, it's wonderful to see him on Radio Row this year.
I'm curious.
Oh, no. I hope
they
so.
They usually bring two, three guys out for the Super Bowl. I'm curious who they're going to bring this year.
I talked about him last night. You know, Maurice and I were talking about the Jags a little bit on Sirius, and we're talking about, you know, will they keep Julius Thomas? They got to pay these receivers. And he said something like, maybe they shouldn't have paid Hearns yet. You know what? Under the circumstances, I totally get why they paid Hearns, and I don't have a problem with it. Led the team in receiving as a rookie, had an outstanding follow-up season. And, Ryan, the fact that he didn't go on IR at the end of the year, that guy wants to play. I mean, Tony's described him maybe as the toughest guy on the team. You know, I just think he gives you everything he's got. That's a guy I want a lot of Alan Hearns type players in my locker room.
Yeah, and you have the cap space to make that kind of a commitment.
Yes,
because they raised his cap number from what $600,000 to $9 million or $8 million this year. So, I don't think there's buyer's remorse, but it's a natural question to ask. Saying, okay, is he a number three averaging $10 million a year?
And he may be, and there may be an adjustment somewhere down the line with that. But in terms of what his work ethic, what he gives you, you know, what he leaves it all out there. Every football cliche, I think, applies to Alan Hearns in a positive way. So I don't have an issue with that. Tony, you excited? You're going to the Super Bowl for the first time.
I am excited. I know we're going to get into the playoff matchups here in the next hour or so. And I think, you know, I'm still kind of a Giants fan. I'm not a Giants fan like I was when I was a kid, but I'm still kind of a Giants fan, and I think if they win this weekend, they got a real shot to go to the Super Bowl.
Absolutely they do.
And so, yeah, I'm excited. I've never been to the actual game, and there's the outside chance that I could go to the game for the first time with Blue playing in it, which would be a lot of fun.
By the way, I don't know if MJD is any good at actually picking games. He thinks the Giants blow out the Packers. Then again, he told me after I brought up that I picked the Chiefs to go to the Super Bowl, he goes, oh, yeah, I picked them to win the Super Bowl. I heard that. That was the first I'd heard of that in 4.5 months from him.
Right. Did he pick him to win the Super Bowl on Tuesday?
I don't know. I don't know. But I picked him before the season at least to get there. I didn't pick who was going to win. But we'll get into those predictions a little bit later on. Let's get some calls going on here at 641-1010. Let's start with Chad on the west side on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Chad.
Good. How are you guys doing today?
We're good.
Question for you. If they're conducting interviews in Miami, is that beneficial for any for the team, or wouldn't you want to be interviewing them in Jacksonville where they're going to be potentially coaching next year?
I think it's a red flag. I don't think they want to see the facilities.
Why wouldn't you want to see the facility?
I don't think they want to show them off, but because this is a depressing, depressing building.
Why do you say that? I don't.
No windows, no natural light. Oh. But the fact that they're, I don't get what ownership's cloak of secrecy here is on this. Because, you know, do them here, have them meet a couple people. That's what they did it the first time with Gus, and they brought in other guys. So I don't understand the reasoning from doing all this off site. I think it comes off as kind of paranoid, needlessly so.
Paranoid, as to me though, maybe paranoid in that they don't want people divining who they want and you know what their wish list actually is, because you don't want it to appear like you got your fourth choice kind of thing, right? But as far as I mean, the facility, I don't think that I'd be shocked if that were.
But Pekka, I told that I ran that past a couple of people that work here and they laughed, so I figured I'd throw it out there. Okay. You guys didn't find it as funny.
Oh, well, I see. I never know if you're trying to be funny or you're being serious about that.
In terms of like the ranking, the choices, they're interviewing a lot of people who are being interviewed by others, so they're all having to take a number. You know, so it's not like, well, we couldn't get to them until Saturday. That means it was our third choice. So I just find it a little weird.
I think it's a little weird too, but I don't think it's because there's not a lot of natural light in the building, I guess, is my thing. Like I'd want to show off, hey, here's the new practice facility we got coming along. Here's the state of the art, features in this stadium. I mean, in terms of attracting free agency, here's what we've done to renovate the locker room. Here's what you've got. I don't know. To me, it's not a drawback this stadium whatsoever. That's my opinion. I don't know. You think it is?
Oh, I don't think it's an attractive job, period. But we can. That's just like one of the reasons is that the stadium isn't very good for a home field advantage. If you're proud of the improvements you've made, why not show them off?
Hey, again, they've done interviews here in the past, though, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, whether it's when the Gus Bradley round came around, I'm sure they did. I can't recall right now where they held him specifically, but I would imagine they did interviews here in this building, right?
So it's just one thing another thing when they come out of their bunker, why down there? Mm-hmm. So.
You're just mad because they're not telling you everything that they're doing right
now.
Well,
I think it's pathetic that this is an organization who claims they're so transparent, and they're not even telling people who should know what's going on in this building. That tells me they have no plan.
All right. Thank you for the call, Chad. Let's see. Hang on a second. Let's go to Rick on the west side next up. Good morning, Rick. How are you?
Good morning, sir. I just want to know, I can take the answer off the air, but why can't we not give Tom Coughlin what he wants, even if it's complete control? We certainly haven't been doing any worth of flip for our manager, and I just want to know, why not give him what he wants, control, the money, whatever it is. He's a proven commodity. He has proven what he can do. So I want to just ask you what you think. Is it money or is it control that he would rather have?
Well, I think it's control. If he doesn't get a job during this cycle, that was sort of lean you to say he was asking for a lot of it, which he didn't have in New York, and it worked out there. So that's when every job is filled and Tom Coughlin doesn't have a spot, the two questions are you ever going to coach again? And the second one is, what didn't work out this time?
My guess is if he doesn't get a job in this cycle, he's not going to get a job.
Correct.
You know, I mean, there are a half dozen openings right now. That's probably all we'll see. And, you know, this one here, for many reasons that we've outlined, I think is a good landing spot. What's preventing him from doing it? They may not see him the way I see him and Rich sees him. Mm-hmm. I have him at the top of the list, but they may not feel that way. They may feel that, you know what, Tom Coughlin is too demanding. Maybe he doesn't like Blake Bortles as his guy. You know, maybe he says, hey, I can't win with this guy. I've watched enough of Blake Bortles. We need to start fresh at the quarterback position, and the sooner you do that, the better. We don't know. I'm just speculating
things
that it could be.
Yeah, and one of the things about with Tom is, you've heard this, is obviously they're looking for a guy who can coach you a long time. Well, as we've talked about last week, there are very few of those guys, period. You know, does he give you the best chance to be competitive in 2017, more so than a first-time head coach who could be here a couple more years longer?
I think so.
I agree. So, you know,
give me three or four great years potentially, and let me worry about it then.
That's the thing is, I don't think that's the way teams think generally. I mean, everywhere Parcells been, that would be the exception. If they knew they're going to get maybe 3 or 4 years out of Bill, and then that's it. So what? Take it. So that's what, if I'm the Jaguars, hopefully for their sake, they weren't. That wasn't a deal breaker that he's only going to coach 3 or 4 more years. Would have taken it.
Right, because
if the fit was right.
Your last two averaged 2.5 mm-hmm. years. You know, get a really good one and be upset when you have to part with him in 4 years, as opposed to, damn, we waited too long to get rid of this last guy.
Yeah, and if ownership's camp can lend him a piece of advice when this is over, and somebody says, why not Tom Coughlin? Don't say, we want somebody long-term.
Yeah.
Nah. Don't say that.
Right, I'm with you. I'm with you on that. If that's the holdup, it wouldn't have been a holdup for me anyway. But we don't know. We'll find out, I guess, over the next week or two. David on the south side next up here on Jaguars Today. Good morning, David.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Doing well.
I'm not sold on Coughlin being the solution either because of the short-term possibilities of him being here. But I wanted to know, Ryan, if there is a dark horse that comes out of this list or somebody that we haven't heard of yet, after the first week of the playoffs, that becomes his head coach, who will it be?
Ooh, that's a good question. Of guys who are playing this weekend, if I'm the Jags, I want to talk to Todd Haley just to get his take on our offense. You know, speaking for the Jaguars, okay, how is our quarterback? You know, how are our receivers? And those are the questions I would ask Todd Haley. In terms of anybody who's come out of nowhere, do they want to talk to Vance Joseph, who is an in-name now? If the Dolphins lose, he's a defensive coordinator, no head coaching experience. So I think we said this, I think at the top of the show, if it's anybody but the guys we don't know, it'll be a surprise at this point.
I think, yeah, by definition.
If it's somebody that we haven't heard of yet in terms of actual permission / interview. I mean, if it's Kevin Sumlin 2 weeks from now, I'll be surprised.
Right.
That's what I'm sort of getting at.
Right. So you don't have a particular, because it would be, you think it's going to be amongst the names that have been talked about already.
I would say highly likely.
Right. You think it'll be Shanahan. If I had to push, came to shove, I'd say Mike Smith, just because he seems like the safest pick.
Yeah, I'm sticking with Kyle because, you know.
You know what? I think there's actually a decent chance that it ends up being Josh McDaniels. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if I would make that decision or not. But I don't think it's that I can make a good case for Josh McDaniels. For one thing, he's not going back to Denver. They're not bringing him back to the scene of the crime.
Not going to Buffalo.
Right.
Stay in the division.
So exactly. Yeah. So, and I don't think Buffalo is nearly as attractive. I do think the Jags have some offensive talent. Now, whether that turns out to be Blake Bortles, you can look at it as an incoming coach, whether you're McDaniels or anyone else, and say, hey, I'm going to get a year to find out if Bortles can play, and if not, then I'm going to get a new kind of a fresh start with a new quarterback, right?
Yeah,
and there could be some job security in that as well. Ultimately, you want a quarterback that you feel he can win with, but how many of these openings have that now outside of San Diego?
Yeah, and I think if, you know, the last time during the hiring of Gus is they wanted to do it quick, so they, you know, did it right after the division round because they felt they were behind already. McDaniels, you're facing a much longer wait. Once you talk to him this weekend, that's your last kick at the can for at least 2.5 weeks.
Right, and then you could talk to him between the Super Bowl, like if they were to advance to the Super Bowl the week before.
Before they leave, so, you know.
You could get a pretty good indication, though, don't you think? If you talk to him and say, hey, look, there's back-channel communications. Don't keep us hanging for the next 2.5 weeks. Or are we really something you're considering doing? And if we're not, give us the courtesy, professional courtesy of we'll move on from you. Withdraw your name from consideration, however you want to do it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, they have to leave there this weekend having a pretty good feeling.
Right.
And then once, you know, and there is precedent for this just 2 years ago with Dan Quinn. They were hiring his staff before he was hired.
Right.
Because they, you know, everybody knew he was the guy. You know, if you feel like, first of all, if you feel like he's going to, you know, wants the job, he's got to tell you that and, you know,
no uncertain terms.
So, because you're going to have to start filling a staff with guys he wants, and he can't back out of that.
Do we still have Steven Pontevedra, Tyler? Or are we We do. All right. Let's get Steve up next here on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Steve.
Hey, good morning, guys. So I guess the pick I think they're going to make is going to be McDaniels, but I'd like to see Doug Marrone stick around. I think, you know, he's got a winning record, and I think he would he's not the sexiest pick, but, I mean, we don't need to go sexy. I think we need to go Doug Marrone. That's my pick. That's who I would pick. what are your thoughts?
Poor Mrs. Marrone.
That's my first question to Doug. This caller says you're not very sexy, but how do you feel against
the job? We can go sexy or we could go Doug Marrone. How do you feel about that? I wouldn't have any issue, really, if Doug I'd hate to feel like they only hired him because five guys said no, right? But, you know, if you told me that Doug Marrone was a leading candidate, my problem is how much of the coaching staff is he going to shake up? Because you got a coaching staff that's been here for a lot of them for more than a year that are as well partly responsible for this 3-13 season.
And I think that's my rub, is ownership is aware of the optics of it, and you're going to be rewarding people that went 15 wins. So
15-49. Yeah, 15-49.
You know, because when you have that bad of a record, 3-13, there's no defense for having stability. That's how changes happen when you go that bad. So if they move up Marrone, how he constructs his staff would be interesting. But I mean, it's going to look like a fallback.
But based on the ultimately for him, the staff's another issue, but just in terms of him being the top guy, I kind of like his style. I like the way he approaches things. I wouldn't have a issue with that per se.
No, I think I think you know, you get guys in the locker room. You know, they've been around him for two games, but they said, "Hey, this is a guy that sort of liked his message."
Right, and that seemed to come through in some no uncertain terms, listening to some of those players in their postseason, you know, wrap-up interviews.
Yeah, and I think he'd be an interesting, you know, because it's about me at the end, in the beginning of the day. I think he'd be an interesting guy to cover.
The beginning and the end and the middle.
I think he'd be a good guy to cover because I think he would be a little bit more, he wouldn't be afraid to poke guys, you know, sort of motivate that way. And
right.
Provide some analysis on why this was called, who made this mistake, who effed this up.
All right, let's take a break here. We'll come back if you're still on the line. We'll get to you when we return in the moment at 641-1010. Phone line's busy this morning with a number of potential coaching candidates being discussed. The question of the day brought to you by the Tom Bush Family Dealership. Simply, who do you predict will be the next coach of the Jags? Not necessarily who you want it to be. Hit us up on social media, Twitter, Facebook, the text line driven by Duval Ford. It's all out there for you. With that, Tony and Rhino Howard, I'm Mike Dempsey. Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
From the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field, this is Jaguars Today. From the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field, more Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
We'll take a look at the wild card weekend matchups in hour number two and also look back at how well or poorly we predicted the playoff field for the National Football League. Some of us did better than others. Some of us did worse than others.
Tyler Devitt.
I was bad. I already know mine was awful. I can tell you that right now.
it was interesting. You put your neck out there on a few selections and, you know, no guts, no glory.
Be bold, Mike. Be bold.
That's right. It's the bold new city of the South, Tyler. You fit in perfectly. Very proud of you. We've got some phone callers on the line. Got a lot of texts coming in on the text line driven by Duval Ford. We'll get to those in a moment. Let's get to Chris on the South Side talking Jaguar coaching search. Good morning, Chris. How are you?
Hey, good morning. How you doing?
Doing well.
Okay. Hey, I was wondering about that Matt Patricia guy from the defensive coordinator for the New England Patriots. What do you think would be his? Good head coach candidate or not?
Well, I think some teams are interested in Patricia. But here's the thing about these New England guys. Everybody makes a big deal. McDaniels is at the Belichick tree. We look at Patricia, that's Belichick's side of the ball. So I don't think that's probably part of the reason why he hasn't got a lot of traction.
Right. They feel like it's Belichick's defense. Yeah. He's just executed.
Yeah, and was it maybe San Diego has reached out, San Francisco, something like that?
Somebody had.
West Coast, one of those
West Coast teams.
So there is some interest in him. In terms of the Jaguars, you know, it doesn't seem like his name's come up right now. Because you know, with the exception of Mike Smith, pretty much exclusively offense.
Who's got the better facial hair, though, Shad or Patricia? Would that be a jealousy situation?
Well, Shad has better because he at least manages it.
Mm-hmm. He does.
Patricia.
Honestly, I don't know that this is the case, but I get the sense people look at Patricia and they're like, oh, he's just, you know, he's rough and tumble. He's got the beard and he's just a football guy. Doesn't he just look like a football guy? I don't know if, you know, look, again, like you said, how many of these assistants coming out of New England have had success on their own? Somebody pointed out some of the downfalls of Josh McDaniels on the text line. I'll try to get to that one. One of the predictions, that's what we're asking you today. Who do you actually think it will be? Somebody said David Shaw on the text line. I don't think it'll be that. We haven't heard anything, any indication whatsoever they're even interested in talking to David Shaw. Question in, what are the rules for interviewing playoff coaches? The coaches who are not coaching this week, you can interview them. For instance, the New England coordinators, you can interview those guys this week. I know Vance Joseph is supposed to be interviewed by Denver following this weekend's game. So there's no rule about being allowed to interview them as long as the team gives permission, right?
Yeah, that was a weird report because in all the rules that I've seen is that isn't the case.
Really?
But
because they say it was very specific that if Miami wins, it'll be conducted in Miami, and if Miami loses, he's going to fly to Denver and interview for the job.
I mean, you think back about Gus Bradley's interview schedule, and you know, did he do one?
Did he do one
with a team in Atlanta the day before a game, the second round game, something like that? Because then he went to Philly, then he came down here and never left. But I think, but what callers and readers have to realize is this is all with the discretion of the team that's in the playoffs. I mean, they could shut it down 100% if they wanted to, but that's not, you know, that's bad poker as well. So
because you don't want to get the reputation of not allowing player or coaches under you to have advancement opportunities.
Yeah. So, but if there is a way to get an interview in, maybe the Jaguar search can speed up a little bit that way.
And the follow up second question from the same source there: has the Pittsburgh offensive coordinator Todd Haley been linked to the Jaguars?
You haven't seen one link yet, and you know, inside the building, last week it wasn't a name that came up.
Is Haley a guy who's got a reputation of being a little bit difficult to get along with?
Well, you know, it didn't end well for him in Kansas City, but he's also working for Scott Pioli, and it didn't end well for him either.
Right.
So the fact that I'd want to talk to him, like I said earlier, I'd want to talk to him just because he's gotten so much production out of that offense.
He has. And he and Ben didn't see eye to eye initially, but they worked through that, which could be seen as a good sign.
Yeah.
Let's see what else have we got here. All right. The head coach will be the Browns special teams coordinator. Who? Exactly. Because Jaguars. All right. You got some positivity there.
That's pretty funny. I like that one.
You never know what's going to tickle his fancy. Second round draft pick question for you. First one of those we've had. If Tease Tabor. I'm not his friend, so should I call him Jalen? Is it only his friends who are supposed to call him Tease? I forget how.
It was on the broadcast, so.
Maybe they're friends. I don't know. If Jalen Tease Tabor of the University of Florida slides to the second round, would you take him? And as for the question of the day, this person said, I think Scott Linehan is the answer.
The fact I was sort of on his boat too because I thought he'd be a good choice, but you know he's available to be interviewed this week. It doesn't seem like that's a direction they're going right now. He has some head coaching experience. He's gotten something out of a rookie quarterback that he had to give a crash course to, and you know he's had a great offensive line, but they've also you know have a very good run scheme. So he'd be somebody I would have been interested in talking to.
As far as Tabor though, whether it's him specifically or any other highly. You know, he's certainly, depending on what source you look at, considered a first-round talent at cornerback. Mm-hmm. If they get a guy worthy of the selection at cornerback, one way to look at it, how pressing is the need for a cornerback? How much would it surprise you if they spent a high second-round pick on the position?
If they re-sign Amukamara,
see that's the question. What
really
are they doing
surprising.
Free agency?
Yeah.
Right.
If they enter draft weekend with their top two corners as Ramsey and Colvin, then I think it is a priority.
What did you make of Devon House's comments about how he felt like there was no good reason for him not playing and he was never given a clear answer for why he wasn't getting more playing time?
Well, you know, sour grapes. But, you know, I talked to him throughout the year. And he always said, January 2nd, I'll opine. So I said, all right, I'll come see you. I've told him, I said, hey, you got off to a bad start. You played terrible against San Diego, gave 2 touchdowns. He goes, I understand that. I understand why I was benched. His thing is, I think his really good point here is, it was the Detroit game where Colvin got hurt and they put Josh Johnson and Peyton Thompson, excuse me, a safety at nickel
right.
instead of moving Ramsey inside, putting House outside. To me, you know, he looked at it as saying, hey, I'm better than what you guys threw out there.
Maybe, but you could also make the case you want to keep Ramsey on the outside.
That's true. And, you know, what the matchup dictated for that game. So, what would be, if I'm management looking at that, what would be a little concerning to me is guys feel they're not being communicated with properly. That has to be prominent. Guys have to know why they're not playing. If you tell them you're not good enough, that's an answer. He said in Green Bay, he was told a couple of times when he wasn't playing well, you're not playing. You're not playing well enough. So, I mean, it's probably a he said thing. But, you know, I'm surprised he didn't get out there a little bit more when Colvin was injured and forced him to reshuffle their deck a little bit.
All right, another one on the text line driven by Duval Ford. Why have we not heard more about Josh McDaniels and how he was dead last in points scored as the offensive coordinator in 2011 with the Rams at 12.1 points per game? And he goes on to say, how about the real reason he got fired in Denver, the spying scandal? Huh. Is that – what is
– I'm not sure on that one. His Rams – I mean, that Rams team was terrible. Everybody got fired after the year. What was his role in Spygate?
I don't
know.
That was
Mangini, right?
Yeah. Right. I don't know what the connect. Why would he get fired in Denver for something that happened? I thought he got fired because he was 3-9 in his second year at the time that he got let go, and I guess the offense wasn't going anywhere, or the team wasn't going anywhere at that point in time.
I'm just looking it up. He was fined, and the team was fined $50,000.
The Broncos were?
Yeah.
For?
Because they, Steve Scarnecchia, their team video operations director, filmed parts of the 49ers practice prior to their Halloween game in London.
Well, there you go.
Walkthrough, that's right.
There you go. Which
criminal!
Well, no, but I mean, honestly, doesn't that kind of have roots in the whole Patriots Spygate way of doing things?
That's where you learn how to do it, yeah.
Right, and... So, you know, maybe this person's right about that. You know, we don't think of him. We don't attach that to him. I didn't even remember it, quite frankly. Let's see. I guarantee, says another texter, there's no other fan base pounding the table for Tom Coughlin. Stop it already.
Well, we sort of know that.
Right. Nobody said there was another fan base pounding the table for Tom Coughlin. I'm not saying this fan base is pounding the table for Tom Coughlin. I am personally pounding the table for Tom Coughlin. If you don't like it, that's your opinion. I don't care, quite frankly. If you disagree, that's great. That's what makes the world go round. You know, it's not going to change my opinion because you don't like the opinion. It's my opinion. Let's see. Why don't the Jags look out for the local guys and let the official radio station break news as opposed to the national guys? I can't speak for anybody else on this station. Tony and I don't look at ourselves as
newsbreakers.
Right. I would understand if you were more upset in that role as a guy who covers the team on a daily basis and they're going to move operations down to South Florida during the coaching search. To Tony and I are just kind of like, when the news comes in, we'll react to the news. We're not, we don't see our role as news breakers. Occasionally we get a little inside scoop, but we're not out there trying to, you know, beat Ryan O'Halloran to the punch or Ian Rappaport or anybody else for that matter.
Yeah.
You know, how do you feel about that? Does it bother you from that standpoint?
It does because I don't think ownership realizes we cover an awful, awful team. And the resources that we sink into it, we cover this. We write more stories about the Jaguars than probably any other paper about their team in the country. And I know it's not going to be a 90-10 relation, 90-10 give and take. And I don't expect it to be 50-50. But it's a lot of these teams are going to be confirming that interviews are happening. And ownership here has put a franchise-wide gag order on everything and everything. I don't think that's very professional.
All right, moving on.
You can text in, tweet me saying I'm a crybaby. Fine, I don't care.
That's fine. I asked you your opinion on it, and then you gave your opinion. Steve on the north side said, Raheem Morris, ? I don't know if he's asking why he is not being mentioned or what. I haven't heard any buzz about Raheem Morris in any circles for a while.
Well, I think if Kyle Shanahan comes here as head coach, Raheem may be your defensive coordinator.
Is that right?
I mean, he's coaching receivers now in Atlanta.
Yeah.
But I think he'd be – I mean, he probably got that job too soon in Tampa, and it didn't work out. Now he's trying to work his way back up.
All right, we'll take a timeout here. If you want to get in, 641-1010 is the way to do it. We will take a look further at coaching candidates in hour number two, but we'll also turn our attention to the wild card round of the playoffs and our mixed bag of predictions on how the NFL season would go throughout the course of 2016. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, and Ryan O'Halloran here with you. It's Jaguars Today. We're live at EverBank on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
And now, this date in football history.
All right, this date in football history. O'Halloran's getting his hands giddily rubbed together. He's ready for some birthdays coming up. But first, January 5th, 1964, the Chargers rout the Patriots 51-10. It's the AFL title game. Fullback Keith Lincoln totaled 349 yards of offense on that day. 1995 on this date, the AFC beat the NFC 41-13 in the Pro Bowl. The Pro Bowl, that's, what, about a month earlier than it'll be played now, at least 3 weeks or so. Don Shula announced his retirement as a head coach of the Miami Dolphins on this date in 1996, the winningest coach in NFL history. Famous birthdays for this date. Let's pick one to start with. How about Sam Wyche, who played in the league for a number of years, but most known as a coach with the Cincinnati Bengals and the Tampa Bay Bucks, compiled a record of 84-107. How old is Sam Wyche?
72.
Oh, my gosh. He's right on the money. 72 right out of the gates is unbelievable. It's 3 weeks in a row. All right, let's go with Warrick Dunn, one of my favorite guys in football. He was the 12th overall pick in the draft in 1997, a three-time Pro Bowl running back with the Bucks and the Falcons. How old is Warrick Dunn?
42
years old. Born in 1975. The first pick in the 2013 draft, one spot ahead of Joko, allowing the Jaguars to cement their future at left tackle. Eric Fisher is how old?
26.
He is 26 years old today. So you're two out of three so far. Let's go to the former head coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers who passed away in 2014. Chuck Knoll, who played with the Cleveland Browns, as a matter of fact, for like 7 or 8 years in the 1950s, was inducted to the Hall of Fame as a coach in 1993. 193, 148, and 1 in the regular season, 16-8 in the postseason, including 4 Super Bowl victories. You can either tell me how old Chuck Knoll was when he passed away or how old he would be if he were still alive today.
If he was still alive today, he would be 87.
87, which would make him born in what? Let me see. He would be 68, 78, 85.
So
not bad. 2 years, within two. Born in 1932, Chuck Knoll passed away in 2014 at the age of 82. So he'd be 85 years old today. 12-time Pro Bowl, 10-time first-team All-Pro, the palindromically named Jim Otto, never missed a game.
Double zero.
Played 210 straight games with the Oakland Raiders, 12 straight Pro Bowls, and a Hall of Famer. How old is Jim Otto?
76.
79 years old. Born in 1938. He was a Hall of Fame inductee in 1980. Mercury Morris, who is probably the most vehement of the champagne cork poppers, 3-time Pro Bowler with the Miami Dolphins, still kicking at the age of?
66.
70. He was born in 1947. That's all I got for you, but you did hit Sam Wyche at 72 years old to lead off today. So that's at least 3 weeks in a row that you've nailed one, Ryan O'Halloran. That is This Date in Football. It's presented by Dr. James McCullough's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry. They're located on Gate Parkway. If you need family dentist, if you need cosmetic work done, they're a certified Invisalign provider. If you have a snore in the family, maybe it's you. The Somnomed Custom Fit Mouth Guard could be the solution. Give them a call at 620-9225 or visit jamesjmccall.com to get a complete list of their comprehensive dental care services. That is This Date in Football History.
Now, the drive around the NFL on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
The Raiders have confirmed that rookie Connor Cook will get the start against Houston in their wild card matchup on Saturday. Brock Osweiler already getting the nod for the Houston Texans. On the other side, the Miami Dolphins have also confirmed, as expected, that Ryan Tannehill will not be available this weekend. Matt Moore will get the start for the Dolphins as they head on the road to take on the Pittsburgh Steelers. Free agent to be, wide receiver Alshon Jeffrey was willing to be bold on his way out of the Bears facility this week. Jeffrey said, quote, "I guarantee you we'll win the Super Bowl next year," end quote. There's a lot going on in that statement. Bears general manager Ryan Pace, head coach John Fox, both later expressed support for Jeffrey and his belief in his Bears teammates. Jeffrey, who is franchise tagged this season, is not under contract with the Bears next year, so he may not even be a part of that Super Bowl. Chicago went 3-13. They're picking ahead of Jacksonville in the upcoming draft. Aaron Rodgers, who predicted that the Packers would run the table in their last six games and win the NFC North, which is exactly what they did, is not willing to make any predictions about a potential playoff run for Green Bay. The Packers are facing a familiar foe this Sunday. The Giants knocked out a higher-seeded Packers team in their last two playoff meetings in Lambeau in 2007 and 11. In 2011, the Packers were 15-1 when the Giants beat them in the divisional round of the playoffs. Rodgers very wary of that fact, not willing to guarantee anything moving forward for the Packers.
Where did the expression "run the table" come from? My guess is one of two things. One, it's like a gaming thing, like, you know, a gambling table or something like that, and you successful. Maybe it's that. Maybe it's run the table. Yeah, that makes more sense. Even I was going to say, aren't like the soccer standings called the table,
mm-hmm.
right? And maybe, you know, winning out in that fashion was running the table. That makes the most sense, right? Running the billiards table.
Now I'm a young guy, right? Freshly out of college, and my first thought was maybe beer pong. You're running the beer pong table. You ran the beer pong table.
I don't think that's where it predates beer pong.
Gotcha. Okay.
That's my guess. My guess.
Throwing that one out there, guys. Sorry.
Let's see. I'm trying to find if the origin of run the table. The expression comes from the game of billiards, which is also called pool. And it means when it's your team, you successfully sink all the balls on the pool table one at a time and therefore win the game, thus running the table. There you go. If you had locked me in the room for a week, I probably would have come up with that one. But it would take 6.5 of those days to get it done. 6-4-1-10-10. If you'd like to get in and talk a little Jaguar football, let's see. Eli Manning versus Aaron Rodgers will be the first wild card matchup in NFL postseason history between former Super Bowl MVPs.
Huh.
In the
really
interesting kind of useless trivia category right there. Yeah, I guess so. I mean, has Roethlisberger won a Super Bowl MVP? I don't think he did, right? Santonio Holmes won one, then Hines Ward won one.
Yeah.
Of recent vintage.
Yeah.
So it would be those two guys in the two most recent Steeler victories.
Didn't Brady play Manning last year? I mean, would that the AFC Championship game last year?
Maybe wild card round?
That is strange, right? The first wild card matchup in NFL postseason history.
Right.
That explains it.
That does.
Yes. I would have used the other 12 hours of my week to figure that out. They're referring to the wild card game only.
More sense because Manning and Brady don't play a whole bunch of wild card games.
Let's take a look back at what we predicted the season would look like. And then coming up, we'll talk about these wild card matchups this weekend, including Houston, Oakland, because we're contractually obligated to do so. Speaking of Houston, we'll start in the AFC South, where yours truly predicted the Houston Texans would win the division. Fat Tony predicted the Houston Texans would win the division. Ryan O'Halloran went with the Houston Texans in the AFC South, and Tyler Devitt went with the Jacksonville Jaguars. Tyler Devitt. Now I'm gonna put my own embarrassing picks on the line here in a moment, Tyler. Were you youthful exuberance? Were you still in the midst of a beer pong marathon? What exactly was going into your selection?
You know, Mike, being a nearly 2-year resident of Jacksonville, I haven't had the misfortune of predicting or overhyping the Jaguars like most of the Jacksonville residents in the city have, and I learned the hard way, and I will never overhype the Jaguars or overpredict, and I will take the under next year in the wins.
You bought into the hype like I did. I had them in the wild card position. Although, admittedly, I was getting a little, I had them at 8.5 wins. I thought they'd go 8-7-1 is what I thought they'd do this year. So I bumped them to 9 and thought they'd get a wild card. I got to live with that. It was a bad one. We all had New England in the AFC East, so that's good. Got that going for us.
I played that Dolphins game last year. Didn't work out.
No.
Wasn't playing it again.
Did you play the Dolphins game last year? You tried to
I had the Dolphins win in the East.
Be ahead of the curve?
Yeah.
The Steelers were the selection in the AFC North by myself and Tony, so feeling pretty good. We had a 3-division winner so far. Ryan and Tyler went with the Cincinnati Bengals, although Ooh. Tony and I both had them in the playoffs as well as a wild card.
Yeah, I picked Cincinnati after they came down here and thought – in a crunch what I thought was an okay Jaguar team. Well, it turns out they weren't okay.
They looked so great, right? Yeah. I think that may have factored in. We're like, wow, that team, they're certainly going to the playoffs, right? If they're not going to win the division, they're certainly going to go to the playoffs. In the AFC West, Tyler and Ryan went with the defending Super Bowl champion Denver Broncos. Fat Tony and I, Kansas City Chiefs. How about that? Tony and myself got every division winner right in the AFC.
Nice.
How about that? Then there's the wild cards. And yep. As I mentioned, I went with Cincinnati and Jacksonville, a double ofer. Tony went with Cincinnati and Denver. At least he was closer. Ryan had the Chiefs in as a wild card and also the Steelers in as a wild card.
Oh.
So you had a couple more playoff teams there. So in all, we, the three of us here, not counting Tyler, had the same four AFC playoff teams correct. Tyler, do you remember who your wild card picks were in the AFC?
I don't know. I probably said San Diego or something stupid like that.
You said Houston was one of them, so you did go with Houston.
You
after you gave the division. You had two teams
division
from the South.
And-
so did I. So, but you got them in, so we'll give you credit for getting that one. You had New England, Cincinnati, Jacksonville, Denver's division winner. So you had the Patriots and the Texans, and you went with the Rex Ryan-led Buffalo Bills squad in the last wild card spot. And at times, they looked like they were a decent team. Look, I picked the Jags. I'm not. I can't really look down at anybody for making the postseason. But myself, Tony, and Ryan all got four teams in the AFC. Tyler hit on two in the AFC. Let's just get this out of the way. You're not going to hear anyone predicting the Cowboys or the Falcons to even make the playoffs.
No.
Okay.
Top
two seeds in the NFC. This was Tony, as we were reflecting on this before the show this morning, looking back, Tony Romo.
He had just broke his back.
Right, he'd broken his back. We're like, oh, are you kidding me? Rookie quarterback, Dak Prescott. What are they going to go, 8-8 this year or something like that?
They played no defense the year before.
Fairly tough division we thought it would be. Right, so absolutely incorrect on missing on both of those teams. So who did we go with in the NFC East? Tony and I went with the Giants. We'll give ourselves partial credit because they made the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
And Ryan and Tyler went with the Washington Redskins. So a wah-wah on that one. Although, had they won
in Week 17.
Right, Week 17, you would have got them in as a wild card. Everyone, clean sweep on Green Bay, even though it was a struggle to get there, mm-hmm. as the winners of the NFC North. So we're all right about that. NFC South, not so much. Three of us went with Carolina. How could a team 15-1 not even get to the playoffs, we thought? Well, Tyler didn't have him in the playoffs, but he did have the Saints winning the division. So nobody had the division winner correct, as we told you. Nobody had Atlanta. Myself and Tyler had Seattle winning the NFC West, while Tony and Ryan bought into the Arizona Cardinals. Not a good showing there.
That may be the pick I'm most ashamed about.
The Cardinals.
I should have saw that. Like, you know, teams that lose in the title game like that, they tend to maybe get old overnight.
Yeah.
And they did.
Carson Palmer did not play nearly as well this year.
Nope.
At times he played okay, but they say they're going to go with him next year. Wild card selections. Let's see who did anything here wild card wise. Tony had Seattle and Minnesota, so he got the Seahawks in. In addition to the Giants, Green Bay, he had Seattle. So you got seven teams total in the playoffs, it looks like. I had Arizona and Tampa Bay as wild cards. Oh, I was so hoping the Tampa Bay would make it in because I was the only one who had the Bucs, and I looked smart for a little while. Wasn't to be. So I had the Giants, Green Bay, and Seattle. So I likewise had seven teams in the playoffs. Ryan had Minnesota and Seattle as wild card teams. So you get Seattle in, and you had, let's see, Green Bay and Seattle were your only NFC teams that made it, and you put those with four in the AFC, so you got six out of the 12. And Tyler Devitt, after picking up two AFC playoff teams, he had Green Bay and Seattle. That brings him to four, where he will stay. He went with the Cardinals and the Vikings as the wild card selections. Tyler's Super Bowl prediction, Arizona, Denver.
Oh my gosh! That
maybe on Madden
good.
2017. No, not gonna. I don't think that one's gonna pan out. Tony went with Arizona and Pittsburgh, so he could get half of that right.
Don't feel good about it.
I went with Seattle and Kansas City. I feel very good about the Chiefs in the AFC. Don't feel nearly as good. I've been telling these guys all morning. If I had a way to get to Vegas in the next couple of days, I would put considerable money on the Lions +8. In the Seattle game, but nevertheless, I at least have a chance. And Ryan, you've got a good chance as well. You got New England and Green Bay in the championship game. So
a little chalky there. Packers will have to win two road games potentially,
but they got the firepower to do it, right? Yeah. They're red hot. They've won six in a row, so it's certainly possible with them. And nobody would say anything other than New England is the favorite in the AFC, although I like Kansas City's chances because in part because they played them tough in the postseason last year. That was one of the reasons I picked them to get to the Super Bowl this year. So we'll see what all comes down. So Tony and I are a little bit over 500. Ryan, right at 500. What do they say? Half the field turns over every year.
Yeah.
It's just tough when you look at Carolina and you look at Cincinnati. You're like, those teams have been solid. In the case of Carolina, they went from what? Like a 7-8-1 division winner to a 15-1 division winner. You're like, the rest of the division stinks. You know, I don't. Obviously, nobody saw the ascendance of the Atlanta Falcons back to the prominence.
So that pesky South.
Well, you figure the Panthers at 15-1. You figure, okay, they're gonna back up.
Right, back up to 10-6. Exactly.
Get
that,
in.
That was the thinking I think with most of us here. Although I'll give Tyler credit, he did not have the Panthers in the postseason, so he's got that going for him.
Four and a half
teams, correct, then, as the case may
be. Now
that
we know what we know, who would you pick as your Super Bowl matchup now?
Well, that's a good question, and you know what? We'll all go around, and we'll predict the wild card games coming up next, and then we'll do that. We'll make our prediction on who you would put your money on if you had to, or if I said you don't even have to risk your own money, I'll give you $50,000 to tell me who the Super Bowl matchup would be, who would you go with at this point. Heck, I might change if it were that. I might change it to New England because they are the heavy favorite and they do have home field advantage, but we'll see when we return in a moment. So if you'd like to get in, 641-1010, you want to talk about the Jaguar coaching search, you're welcome to do that. Any aspect of Jaguar or NFL football, always welcome on the docket here. It's Jaguars Today live at EverBank on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
From the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at EverBank Field, more Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, Ryan O'Halloran here with you. Wild Card Weekend coming up. If I miss portions of Raiders Texans, I'm not going to be too upset this weekend.
Yeah.
Somebody's going to win, and that'll probably be the end of the road for them because they'll more than likely be unless the Dolphins upset the Steelers, they'll be taking on the New England Patriots, and they'll be doing it with less than their ideal quarterback, likely. Who knows if Tom Savage will be back by next week if Houston is able to win that game. John McClain says that, who of course covers the Texans, says that there's no question Tom Savage would be playing if he was able to. He's already been ruled out for the game, so it's not even, you know, it's a significant concussion for him. Texans, a 3.5-point favorite in this game. I think Osweiler is bad enough that he can blow this. I really do. I think Oakland, with an outstanding offensive line, can run the football a little bit on Houston, try to shorten this game. I think they have just as good of playmakers, if not better, on the outside. I think Connor Cook, with a week of first-team reps at quarterback, might surprise us a little bit. I don't expect them to ask him to throw it 45 times. I'm going to take the Raiders in an upset on the road, at least a Vegas upset on the road. Who do you guys like?
You sort of sold me on the Raiders there. I was going to go Houston because Osweiler has a little bit more experience than Cook. And also, I think they'll just ride Lamar Miller and make sure the game is in his hands instead of Osweiler. And then one thing that Houston was able to do all those times against the Jaguars is present different looks to force Bortles in the sacks and turnovers. I think they'll have a lot cooked up for Connor Cook, pun intended, and I think the Texans win.
All right, so you go with the Texans, despite my efforts to sway you, Fat Tony.
I think Khalil Mack is the difference in the game. I think he's the best player on the field, and I think with two kind of quarterbacks, I like the Raiders to win this one in an exciting 13-9 matchup.
Wow, in the most revisionist 13-9. History.
Tony, you're killing me.
We cannot let the most revisionist history statement in the history of history go by when O'Halloran says, my guy, Khalil Mack, who he declared before he ever was drafted in the league, he will be a bust because he played at Buffalo. At least this may be the most I've ever seen him laugh at one point, too. So
I almost swore there.
You win some, you lose some. Tyler, who do you got? Oakland and Houston.
I'm going with Oakland. I just can't go with Brock Osweiler. I think he might throw a pick six or two, even though Oakland's D's not very good. I just don't want to pick Brock Osweiler in any game at all. So,
all right, I agree with you on that one. Let's go out to the next game. They kind of rank these, I think. They stack them in order of attractiveness, don't you think? I mean, I saw one estimation that ESPN's going to lose $75 million this week. Did you see that?
Yeah, I saw that yesterday. How is that?
They paid $100 million for the rights to this one wild card game, and they get Houston, Oakland. And I guess because the time slot, 4:35 on Saturday afternoon, you know, they're having projecting that they're only going to raise about $25 million in advertising revenue.
Because they knew they were locked into that time.
Right, but they probably were hoping for somewhat better of a matchup. Even if you had Derek Carr in this game, it would be a much more attractive matchup.
Well, and also you know you're locked into the AFC South team.
Probably
so. In all likelihood, yeah.
Probably so. All right, well, that's where they stand. The Saturday night kickoff, 8:15 our time, Lions in Seattle to take on the Seahawks. Ryan, we'll let you lead off.
I think it's a good game. I think Seattle wins. You've mentioned that 8-point spread. I wouldn't.
I think that's an insane spread.
Because Detroit has done one thing all year, with an exception, is they played close games. One and loss. Detroit comes in limping, 3 straight losses. They had a shot at the division. So I think Seattle does just enough. I could see Russell Wilson getting sacked 5 times, yet throwing 3 touchdowns. And I think Seattle wins 27-23.
Okay, Tony?
I think Stafford gets the Lions the lead in the fourth quarter, but Russ takes him back down. I like Seattle in the game 24-21.
24-21. Tyler, who do you have in this one?
Also going with Seattle. Stafford hasn't been as good since that finger injury. He's been just mediocre at best, but I also think the 8 points, like you said, is way too much, but still Seattle by like 4 points.
Yeah, no question. I think the 8 is silly, which probably guarantees the Seahawks in a walk here. But I'm going to take the Seahawks in this game. I just don't. There's no way I would lay 8 points on this.
I hope it's a good game, because that's the night game.
It is tonight, Saturday night game, right?
Because
so
we're not expecting much in the.
You know, look,
well, in Seattle, and it's in the postseason, it's been drama. Mm-hmm. Like that's what they deliver every year, is some kind of drama. Right. And I don't expect it to be any different this week.
I do think. I don't think this. You know. Detroit hasn't won a road playoff game since 1957. Who cares? Okay, that doesn't influence me. But I do think I don't worry about the negative influence, because most of these guys are not attached to that. But I do think there is some positivity to been there, done that with Seattle. They're at home. They probably are sitting there right now thinking, nobody's giving us a shot. And they're probably right for the most part, you know, to win the whole thing. And they probably feel that, you know, internally, that we know what it takes to get there. I do think that means a little bit in this game. I think Seattle will win a fairly close one. I don't think they'll be able to run the ball. And I do think Russell Wilson's going to get sacked a number of times with that offensive line the way it is. And with Ziggy Ansah finally playing healthy football. And I think having Darius Slay back healthy is a big mark for Detroit as well, but not enough to win the game. We go to Sunday, and the Dolphins, who knocked out the Steelers 30-15 back in Week 6, going up to Pittsburgh this time to take on the Steelers in the postseason. The Steelers heavy favorites in this one, Tony. Who do you have?
It's hard to imagine Miami going on the road in January and winning a game at Pittsburgh. So I like the Steelers by 10.
10 points. All right. Tyler Devitt?
The line's actually at 10, and I agree it's probably going to be more than that too as well. Pittsburgh in a rout.
Okay. Pittsburgh in a rout. I'm going to go with the Steelers as well. I don't know if it's going to be as much of a rout as we're all thinking and looking at with that, or at least that you guys are, because I think Miami's defense has been pretty good over this. Once they started 1-4, they played pretty well down the stretch, and they did a really nice job bottling up both Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown, making Ben Roethlisberger a little bit uncomfortable in that game. But back at home, Roethlisberger's home road splits are pretty striking. I think the Steelers will win this game. If they cover it, I think it's a late cover, but I do think they'll win this weekend and advance. So who do you have, Ryan?
I have Pittsburgh as well. Game time temperature supposed to be around 18 degrees. Mm. So a lot of Le'Veon Bell. I think a lot of J.H.I., but not enough. I could be Pittsburgh by a touchdown. Pittsburgh looks dangerous.
You know, I think they do as well. And in this, it's funny. There are a lot of postseason fantasy leagues that use what's called a one-and-done type scenario, meaning you can play any player you like, but you can only use them once. And you have to, you know, kind of be a little tactical on who you think is going to win. I'm going with Ajayi and Bell this week in my main league that I play like this. Ajayi had the great game against the Steelers. I do think this will be a game where there's a lot of running on both sides of the ball. And, yeah, I'm going to one of these teams will advance, and I'll lose that player next. But there's no way. I'm not taking a chance that I'm not getting Le'Veon Bell in one of my postseason lineups. So I'm going to get him in with Ajayi this week as an aside. And then finally – the main course on Sunday afternoon at 4:40 p.m. The Giants and the Green Bay Packers. Tyler Devitt, we'll start with you.
I'm going with the Green Bay Packers. They're going to stay hot. They're going to win this one. I don't think they're going to go as far as everyone. Some people are picking them to go to the Super Bowl. I don't know about that, but I do think they win this week.
Okay, you got the Packers winning this week. Ryan, what about you?
I'm going to go with the Packers as well. You know, throughout the weather, they're both cold weather teams, supposed to be around, you know, 10 to 12 at kickoff. Giants have great history at Lambeau, but it didn't look like they were very explosive on offense the last couple of games, even though they have Beckham. So Green Bay is the hotter team right now, and I picked them to win.
Let's hold Tony, the Giant fan in the room, for the final one. Boy, Maurice Jones-Drew almost had me swayed to pick the Giants in this game last night, and he gave some pretty good reasoning. With the Packers secondary is beat to hell, and he really thinks that it's going to be he's picking them like 24-10. He thinks that the defense of the Giants is really going to stymie Aaron Rodgers and company. They can't run the ball. They'll make him one-dimensional. He thinks the pass rush will get after Aaron Rodgers. I'm going to go with Rodgers at home. I think he's, you know, that hot right now. I think whoever wins this game could be one of those teams that makes that deep run in the NFC playoffs potentially. Certainly, you know, if they're going into Dallas, the Giants are going to have as much confidence as any team could. And I think Green Bay would be nobody wants to play Green Bay right now, I believe. I think Green Bay wins this game. I think it'll be fairly close, but I'll go something like 24-20. Tony, who do you got?
I know what I'd like to see happen. Look, I think whoever wins this game is going to represent the NFC in the Super Bowl. I really do think that. Dallas, just there's something flawed about that Dallas team, and I think it shows up this time of year more than it does during a regular season run when you get to play lesser opponents week to week. And Atlanta just doesn't play enough defense to me to be a Super Bowl team in the NFC. So I think whoever wins this game is going to represent the NFC in the Super Bowl. I'm going to pick the Giants because I'm not going to not pick the Giants.
He always picks the Giants.
Yeah, in the game. I think this is – they're good enough defensively to turn even a Green Bay team that's been really flying on offense to make it a fist fight. They're that kind of good on defense, especially in the secondary, to take away – a little bit about what Rodgers has done in the last month and a half. I think it's going to be really, really close. I expect something like 19-17 in this one.
If memory serves, didn't the Giants go into Lambeau and win both years? That
2007, they won when Green Bay was the 2 seed with Favre. 2011, they won when Green Bay was the 1 seed at 15-1 in the divisional round.
There you go. So they've got recent history, at least with some of the players on that team, a little institutional memory. Ryan, if you're picking the Super Bowl matchup today, who are you going with?
I'm going with Chalk. I'm going New England-Dallas.
New England-Dallas.
They're the best two teams. You know, they just have to win at home, and I think that'd be a great matchup.
Okay, I think it would be a phenomenal match. It would be one of the most hyped matchups in terms of national interest in that game that we've seen in a long, long time. And Dallas being as close as they are to Houston would obviously dominate the local scene there. Tony, who do you got if you had to pick today?
New England, New York.
New England, New York would be his selection because you said whoever you think wins that game. What about you, Tyler?
Going with Matty Ice and Alex Smith in the Super Bowl. How about that one? That'd be interesting. Kansas City and Atlanta.
Killed your pick.
Look, I'm gonna stay with Kansas City and Seattle because that's what I picked before the season. But if I were honestly picking today, I do think Kansas City can make it out of the AFC and boy in the NFC. I might pick Atlanta as well, but I'll go Dallas and say Kansas City, Dallas. But I'm just gonna stay with Kansas City, Seattle because they've gotten me to this point. And I remember Frank once, and I'll continue to remind him of this. He had before the NCAA tournament. I want to say. He picked Kansas to win it all. I think it was Kansas to win it all. And then Kansas made it to the title game, and he picked Memphis to beat him in the title game. And I'm like, what in the world are you doing? It was just like 2 weeks ago that you picked them to win it all. They're here, and now you're switching your pick. You cannot have it both ways. I might have been opposite of that. He might have picked Memphis and then switched to Kansas. It was one of those situations. So I'm going to go down swinging with Kansas City and Seattle. If you want to weigh in on any of those predictions or make your own, we'll be doing a little bit more of that tomorrow as well. 641-1010 if you want to talk Jaguar coaching search. We'll come back and take a look at the fan feedback spotlight where we asked you today to predict who you think will be the next Jaguar head coach, not necessarily who you want it to be. So we'll take a look at some of those responses coming up as well. With Fat Tony, with Ryan O'Halloran and Tyler Devitt, I'm Mike Dempsey. Jaguars Today rolls on 1010XL and on 92.5 FM.
This is Malik Jackson, and you're listening to the only weekday show dedicated to your Jacksonville Jaguars. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL.
Hey, tomorrow, the triumphant return of David Garrard, first time in 2017. We'll talk a little playoff preview there coming up tomorrow and look back at the Jaguars season that was. Get his thoughts on the head coaching search as well. You can still get in today at 641-1010. Midday Chalk coming up at the top of the hour. We've got Will on the west side, so let's take him before we get to some of the fan feedback spotlight today. Good morning, Will.
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
What's up, buddy?
Hey. First off, man, hey, may y'all help me out? Man, my dad in the car was hitting with me, getting on me because I called AAA to change a tire and I didn't want to. Can you please tell him that don't make me less of a dude?
So you called AAA to change that tire?
Yeah,
I don't think it makes you. It doesn't make you less of a dude, man. I mean, you know, you probably didn't want to get your nails messed up or something. I understand that.
Actually, I wanted to stay in the car and listen to you guys.
Okay? Well, that then you're a man, Will. And you're a real man, Will.
See, Dad, I told you. But anyway, listen. First off, my Super Bowl pick, man. I think it's going to be a rematch of the New York Giants and the New England Patriots. I think it's going to be a good one, and I think that New England's going to win it. And my question with the Jaguars, I don't understand. You got something. It's not just about the Jaguars. It's more about what made the quarterback position unchallengeable. I mean, like, if it wasn't a competition between if Romo wouldn't have got hurt, Dak would have never been the quarterback. So I'm saying, how come it couldn't have been a competition where – even though you are the starting quarterback, shouldn't he have a competition every year? Wouldn't that make him not be complacent? Because I think that kind of what took Blake Bortles a step back, coming in knowing I'm the guy, da-da-da, and working hard. And he even said it himself, it's things he could have did better on the offseason. Why can't the quarterback position be competitive every year? They do it in college, high school. I don't understand why not in the pros. I know the big money ticket on the price tag, but still, shouldn't you still make it competitive to keep your guy on the edge? And I'll listen to you guys offline, man. I love the show.
All right, thank you, Will. We appreciate it, man. Happy New Year.
Well, they probably took the flip side of it, as they saw enough in 15 to say, hey, there's no reason to be competition. I don't think anybody would have disagreed with
and
that.
And I don't have a problem with that, you know, quite frankly. Like, I think he did enough to be the solid starter going in. Now, you reach a point of diminishing returns where you start to ask, should we try another avenue? But I didn't have an issue with them not creating a true open competition at quarterback last offseason. You felt like you had your guy, you're investing your guy. The position is so important that when you find him, you want to try to build around him and give him all the tools necessary to succeed. Look, there's no competition in San Diego. There's no competition in New Orleans. There's no competition. I'm not saying Blake Bortles is at that level, but there's no competition in Cincinnati, right? It's not like A.J. McCarron was a threat to Andy Dalton's job up there. Maybe he should be at some point if they don't, you know, start winning some postseason games at some point. But there's no competition in Carolina, you know, with the reigning MVP. Again, I'm not saying all these guys are exactly comparable to Blake Bortles, but there's – that is a position, Ryan. It's so important that you want to find your guy. I think you want to do everything you can to support that guy being the guy and give him the weapons to work with, give him all the reps necessary to get him prepared. You agree or disagree?
No, you're right, especially the part where he needs to take all those snaps in practice. You can't – I mean, teams that have quarterback competitions in camp usually find themselves wasting the first half of camp trying to figure out that one position. The other part of it is if you're a guy who's a free agent – and wants to start, you're probably not going to come here last year or the year before because you know Blake Bortles is the guy.
Right.
You know, maybe it's a little bit more enticing this coming offseason, but I wouldn't think it's going to be a lot more enticing because the guy who drafted the guy is still here. We mean in the GM.
Yeah, you certainly make that argument. Where does the competition come from Blake Bortles, in your opinion? Other than Brandon Allen, who we expect to be back on this football team, where else will it come from?
I bet if they cut Chad Henne, they sign another veteran, they'll spin it as it's a competition. But I'd be very surprised if Blake doesn't start week one of next year. I don't think I'm going on a too much of a
limb. I would be too, but I also at the same time, because I just don't think that the competition, like you said, if you're Mike Glennon and you look at the situation, you say, you know what, am I really going to go in there with a fair chance to start – maybe you will, maybe you won't, but what are they willing to pay him? I don't think they're going to be willing to pay what it would take to lure an interesting
Correct.
Veteran free agent into a competition, right?
And then they're not going to want to give up a pick as well. The trade for a guy to create a competition like that, because usually there are only big names out there that if you trade for them, they're the no doubt number one.
If Josh McDaniels is interviewed by the Jags and they love him, they think he's a great fit, and McDaniels says, look, if I come here, I want to take the fourth pick in the draft because I believe Garoppolo is the guy. I've seen him up close. I've worked with this guy. I can win with Jimmy Garoppolo. Do you do that?
Whew. If you really feel that strongly about McDaniels.
Otherwise, you can't hire him, right?
Correct.
Because if you're going to say, we believe you're the guy with the vision to lead us where we want to be, you got to trust him in terms of the players he wants to play.
And you also have to tell him and remind him, hey, we can try. They don't got to trade them.
No, they don't. So, but if it went that way, would you because while they say a one and a four, look, if I could have the 30th pick in the first and fourth rounds, I'd trade them in a heartbeat for the fourth overall pick. So the fourth overall pick is worth a lot of ones and fours combined. So I think personally, if they could get the fourth overall pick in the draft, then the New England Patriots would come running and give you Jimmy Garoppolo. I think that would get it done. I think the more intriguing question is, would they be willing to do that if they really felt like McDaniels was a fit here personality-wise and idea-wise? Because once you do that, it's not a competition, right?
Yeah, it's over.
It's over. It's Jimmy Garoppolo's quarterback of the Jacksonville Jaguars, right? I mean, because only one of those guys is getting the extension,
mm-hmm.
right? I mean, you'd almost have to make that deal and sign Garoppolo to an extension sight unseen, wouldn't
yeah,
you?
Yeah.
If you're going to do a deal like that, I don't suspect we're going to have anywhere near that level of investment in someone who competes with Blake Bortles this mm-hmm. offseason. Tony, what do we get in terms of fans asking about who, or we asked them about who they thought the next coach would be, not necessarily who it should be, what kind of feedback we get?
Here's what we got from Any Given Sunday. Easy, make a list of all the people you want to get the job. They'll pick the one not on the list, so a little cynical there. From Ortapalooza, Mike Smith for the big meh. I mean, who is his OC? His best OCs are head coaches right now. From Kyle, probably Mike Smith. Yay. From Chad, my prediction is Mike Smith. He has a winning record as a head coach. Been in Jax as a DC. It just fits. From Alvaro, Tom Coughlin, everything else is GM training for his future job. From Jarrell, Mike Smith, due to prior successful head coaching experience and familiarity with Caldwell. From Brian, it'll be Mike Smith, as exciting as mayo and vanilla pudding on white bread. Hashtag snooze alarm. From Irish Jaguar, Mike Smith, I'm a bit meh on him, but I'll give it a chance. From Fan Cam, I predict the Jaguars' next head coach will be the 2017 NFL Coach of the Year. Some optimism. From Demetrius, Josh McDaniels. His body of work and Brady's absence, along with his willingness to adapt to any quarterback's strengths. And from BCB Couch, Marone, paying a firm to interview the same folks everyone else is then hiring, then the O-line coach is a total Jags move.
All right, here's a few on Facebook. Again, these are predictions we asked for. I don't know if they're all in that vein of who you think it will be, not who it should be or you'd like it to be. Garrett said, Tommy C. He'd probably hate being called that. I don't think the organization/fan base relationship can handle a no-name or up-and-comer. Oh, we'll find out. Let's see. John said, random NFL coordinator or college guy who is, quote, the next big thing, a.k.a. a bust. Loco said it will probably be Mike Smith, but I'm hoping for Matt Patricia. David said, I don't know, but I hope they swing for the fences rather than take a safe conservative pick. I don't know what people think swing for the fences is at this point.
Is that Coughlin?
It was that Gruden. I think for a lot of people, they think that's Gruden. John Gruden could have an NFL job if he wanted one. I do believe that. I don't know. I don't see John Gruden's going from being the face of Monday Night Football to toiling in Jacksonville, Florida. Just
Correct.
Don't see it.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of the scuttlebutt around the league a couple weeks ago is if he did come back this year, it was for L.A. and L.A. only.
Right, because of the lure of the big market and all that, which, whatever, it doesn't have that appeal to me, but to each your own. Josh said, I think it's going to be Mike Smith, but I'm hoping for Josh McDaniels. Andre said, I personally like Shanahan, but my prediction is Smith. I'm not a big fan of McDaniels all over the place, and that's okay. Dalton said, I think it will be Matt Patricia as head coach, Chip Kelly as OC, Mike Singletary as defensive coordinator. I don't think you really think that. I think that's your wish list, is my guess, and you're going with the biggest names that you know are available out there for the coordinator positions, with kind of the no-name, so to speak, head coach. But maybe I'm wrong. Connor said hopefully someone who wasn't, quote, solid. Kyle Shanahan said Steve, and then Dustin just went with someone disappointing.
Steve, that's not bad. I kind of chuckled.
Someone disappointed.
Well, honestly, of all the names, we've talked about the same names over and over for the past couple of days. None of them really bother me all that much. I'd be okay with basically any of them. Marone would stun me. And my first question is, if it's Doug Marone, why the heck didn't you fire Gus a month earlier?
That's the thing.
Like, what's the
Six
point?
6 weeks, even. Right?
And then the idea of, well, he could keep Hackett on and Wash. Why? Yeah. What? They're 3-13. Like, there's not this desire to just wash
had
away this.
Had he gone 5-3 with that formula, you would have said, okay, it was clearly just the head guy. We got the right guy in there. And do you think anything, do you think the way the second half played out changed your perspective? Let's say the Jags, who were cruising along against the Colts in the first half, continue to cruise in the second half, and they won easily, handily against the Titans and the Colts. Do you think that would change the landscape right now?
I don't think so, because I don't think they're that shallow in terms of letting one loss impact their opinion of a guy. But Tony hit it. They're just late to everything. If you really thought he was a guy for 2017, give him more than two games to prove it. What's the worst could happen? He would have went 0-6. He would have been 2-14. He would have started all over again.
And you would have had the third pick in the draft.
Yeah. So I mean, you're giving the impression that the status quo is okay.
All right. What do you have coming up in the TU?
Just not a lot.
Just the look on his face when I asked him, Tony.
I have some, you know, Jaguar Insider, some leftover stuff for Sunday, AFC, NFC stuff. I usually do this big, huge statistical wrap-up, but that won't be this week.
All your coworkers at the Times Union are so pleased with the amount of promotion you gave them, right? Not really anything really of note. Nothing we can't wrap up on next week's Thursday edition of Jaguars Today. All right, Ryan, thanks for the time, buddy.
All right.
And we'll look for you. We'll follow you on Twitter, at least. Maybe there'll be some breaking Jaguar coaching news on Twitter. He doubts it. Don't bother to read me. Follow me on Twitter. I'll be back in a week with the Jaguars Today crew. Here's Ryan O'Halloran, Florida Times Union, on Twitter, at Ryan O'Halloran. For Ryan, for Fat Tony, for Tyler Devitt, and for Joe Fortunato, to all of you out there in Radio Land, thanks for tuning in. David Garrard joins us in studio tomorrow, talking more Jaguar ball and NFL playoffs as well. Midday Chalk coming up next on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
You guys have a good day. Peace.